Welcome to the Aldersgate Talks, whether you're on Zoom or watching on YouTube or a bit later. As we always say, our tagline here is Christianity for skeptics, inquirers and believers. So whoever you are, wherever you're coming from, you're really welcome with us. Today you join us for the third of a four-part series, just looking at some of the really fundamental questions about Jesus, about Christianity. Our first question was, is God real? And then last week we looked at the resurrection, fact or fiction, both of which you can find on our YouTube channel if you want to catch up with them. Today we have Dave Rydell joining us, who's on staff at a church in Banstead, just south of, well, it's south of London, isn't it? Somewhere down there in Sussex. Was it Surrey?
Surrey, yeah. Just into Surrey.
Yeah, that's it. So, Dave, it's great to have you with us. And Dave's going to be speaking to us on the question of Jesus' resurrection. What does it mean in just a second? Can I just mention, by way of a notice, we are hoping or planning to open up at St. Botolph's, doors flung wide open, on Tuesday, the 13th of April. So that's the second Tuesday after Easter. So for the many of you, I'm sure, who will be sort of coming straight back into the city after Easter, we will be open, and do come and join us. Or maybe think, if you do have flexibility, if you are able to come back into the office, why not come in, especially on a Tuesday? We'd love to see you. And of course, it will be also be live streamed for those who can't. And we do hope that over the weeks, people will be trickling back into the city. Just say as well, there's a question and answer session at the end if people want to stay. So do be jotting down your questions for Dave or for me and Simon, and we'll do our best to answer them. Let me upload the handout, and then without further ado, I will pray. And it'll be over to Dave. So the handout should be uploaded into the chat. Do grab that, that'll be useful. So it's got the Bible passages on that Dave's going to be referring to. Why don't I pray as we begin? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word in the Bible. Thank you that it is truth, that it is light. And we pray that you, at this lunchtime, would open our blind eyes and soften our resistant hearts, that we might see and know the truth about Jesus Christ, that we might be able to live rightly in light of who he is. Pray for Dave, that you'd help him as he speaks, and bring us with soft and receptive hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Dave, over to you. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Phil. I want to begin this lunchtime by asking, what would you say has been the most important day of your life? And perhaps it was the day that you got married, or the day that the child was born. Or perhaps it was the day that you landed that job in the city. Or if we were to think outside of what has happened in our specific lives, what would you say has been the most important day of all of world history? And perhaps it was the day that the first ever vaccine was made and the advancements in medicine that have come with that. Or maybe it's the end of the Second World War, or perhaps more recently, the day that the internet was invented. Now, of course, there is no doubt that these days are all important. But there is one day in all of history which is much more important than all of these days put together. And there is one day in history where the events of that day have changed everything for every single person who has ever lived. A day where our response to it determines where each of us will spend eternity. And the day that I'm talking about is, of course, the first Easter Sunday, and the day when Jesus Christ rose bodily and burst out of the grave, never to die again. Last week, we were thinking about the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we were thinking about why it is impossible that Jesus's resurrection is a work of fiction. Well, today we're moving on from the question of whether it happened to think about what it means, to think about the implications of the resurrection, about why it is so important for all of us here today. Jesus's resurrection, what does it mean? Well, this lunchtime, we're just going to focus on two very simple and yet two fundamental implications. And they're there on the handout that Phil has sent round. The resurrection means that Jesus will return to judge and that Jesus was raised to justify. And we're going to look at them in that order. So firstly, the resurrection means that Jesus will return to judge. We've got just three verses to look at today. And the first couple on your handout come from Acts chapter 17. Let me read those for us. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Recently, I've been watching a TV series that follows the life and trial of Oscar Pistorius, the South African Paralympian who was sent to prison first for culpable homicide, manslaughter, and before the charge was increased to murder. And one of the things that the original trial was known for at the time was just how public it was. And it was possible to watch the trial live on television and see all that was going on each day. And maybe you remember sitting down to follow the court proceedings. Well, at the end of Acts chapter 17, as Paul preaches the good news of the gospel in Athens, it's like he is giving his audience a public view into a courtroom. And not of a courtroom in South Africa, but of God's courtroom. And Paul is giving his hearers the advanced warning. A court hearing is coming up. At some point in the future, God is going to judge the world. And now we don't have many things in our kitchen calendar at the moment, but if you were to look on God's calendar, or if you were to flick through the pages of God's diary, then you would see very clearly on a date in the future, the words, judge the world. Now, of course, we don't know that date. But at some point in the future, each and every human being who has ever lived, us included, will be sat, if you like, in the dock, in front of the creator of the world. And the charge brought against us, sin, rejection of God, rebellion against God, and we'll either be found to be guilty or not guilty. We'll either be justified, that is, in the right with God, or not justified, not in the right with God. And now I take it that most of us would want to plead not guilty, as in we don't like to think that we are sinners. So we don't like to admit that we have rejected God and turned from him. And we don't like to recognize that we are living in rebellion against him. Instead, we like to think that we are good and kind and loving people. But remember that the Lord God, in the massive pile of evidence that is next to him, well, he has access to everything that we've ever said. He has access to everything that we've ever done. He has access even to everything that we have ever thought. You see, as we think about that day, we like to think the verdict will be not guilty of sin. But actually, it's guilty. And we like to think that we will be justified, but actually we won't. We like to think that the announcement will be life with God in heaven. But actually, the coming sentence is one of death. After all, that is the penalty for sin. That's what each of us deserve. Now, I guess at this point, there might be two objections. That the first might be, well, don't be silly, God is loving and God is kind, and that means that he will let me off. But did you notice what Paul says? Just look back at the verse again. God will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. You see, whilst we might be able to bribe and to sway a human judge, well, God's judgment is going to be perfectly just and righteous. And it's worth noting that this is a good thing. After all, we like the idea of justice. We crave justice. We hate the idea of injustice. Not many people would want the trial of their case to be at the royal courts of injustice, would they? They wouldn't have a clue as to how it would pan out. They wouldn't have a clue as to whether they would get a fair trial or not. Well, the good news is that God's judgment is just. It is fair. It is righteous. God will judge the world in righteousness. But that means that God can't just let me off the hook. And the second objection might be, well, God is bluffing. The whole of idea of judgment, well, it's just a load of rubbish. It's just there to scare us. But again, did you notice what Paul says in this verse? At the end of the verse, Paul says that all people can be sure of it. God has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this, he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. God is going to judge the world by Jesus Christ. He is the man whom God has appointed, the man whom God has chosen. And we know this. We can be assured of this because God has raised him from the dead. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ is proof to us that he is more than just a human, more than just a teacher, more than just a prophet. Jesus's resurrection shows us that he is the Lord, that he is the King. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is proof that he is the one who has been given authority by God to judge the world. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the proof that he will return. The one who will come back, the one who will return to judge. And the resurrection, what does it mean? Well, firstly, the resurrection means that Jesus will return to judge. Now, given that this is the case, given that we are all heading for a court hearing where we will be found to be guilty, given that we are all in the wrong with God, well, it means that the most important question for all of life is this. How can we be found to be not guilty on that day? How can we make sure that we are in the right with God on that day? How can we be justified? Let's make it more personal. How can you make sure that you are in the right with God on that day? Well, the answer is through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, the resurrection doesn't just mean that Jesus will return to judge, but the resurrection also means that Jesus was raised to justify. That's the second implication of the resurrection that we're looking at this lunchtime. The resurrection means that Jesus was raised to justify. The third verse on the right-hand side of the handout comes from the end of Romans chapter 4. Do follow along as I read it now. He, that's Jesus, was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Earlier on, I mentioned how each of us deserve death because of the way that we have treated God. And not just a physical death, but a spiritual death and an eternal death where we face God's anger. But the wonderful news of Christianity is that we no longer have to face that. And Jesus Christ himself was delivered up for our trespasses. He has taken God's anger for us on our behalf in his death on the cross. But given that the punishment for sin is death, then it means that if Jesus was still dead, if Jesus's body was still in the tomb, well, that would mean that Jesus was still taking the punishment for us. And that means that we couldn't be sure of being made right with God through him. But Jesus Christ isn't dead. He is alive. The resurrection of Jesus, the fact that he has been raised bodily, well, that is the proof that he has fully taken God's anger for us. And the resurrection of Jesus is the proof that the forgiveness of sins is possible through him. If our faith is in the resurrected Jesus Christ, then instead of being declared guilty on that day, it means that we can receive the declaration of not guilty now in advance of that day. And the resurrection of Jesus means that we can be justified now. That's what Paul says. He was raised for our justification. Jesus was raised to justify. And this means that whether we have put our trust in Jesus Christ or not really does matter. And whether we have put our trust in Jesus Christ or not, it really does determine our eternity. And whether or not we have put our trust in the resurrected Jesus Christ is the difference between judgment on that day and justification on that day. If you're here and you would call yourself a Christian, if you have put your trust in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, then please leave today with great assurance. As Christians, we can often hear about the coming judgment and then feel worry or feel guilt because of our sin. And we can be fearful that we will get to that judgment day and be declared guilty. But through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the punishment has been fully taken. And we know that because Jesus has been raised. And so we have already been declared to be righteous. We already have the verdict of not guilty. And we don't need to fear that day. And instead, we can look forward to it and even long for it because we know that it means we will get to be with our resurrected Saviour for all eternity. But if you're here and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, and then the simple question for you to think about is, what are you going to do with the warning that we have seen? And remember, we are all heading towards a court hearing. And we don't know the date or the time of it. It could be in 20 years' time or 2 years' time. There's no reason why it couldn't be tomorrow. But we are all heading towards a court hearing. And yet, it is a court hearing that hasn't come yet. And it is a court hearing where there is a way, just one way, yes, but there is a way to be made right with the judge beforehand. And so for the sake of your eternity, please listen to God's command. All people everywhere, including us here today, all people everywhere are to repent. We are to turn around. We are to turn from the old way of living. We are to put our trust in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because as we do that, as you do that, if you're not yet a Christian, it means that you too can receive that declaration of not guilty now. And so, of course, not guilty on that day. The resurrection of Jesus Christ really is the most important day in all of history, because it shows us that Jesus will return to judge and that Jesus was raised to justify. Phil, back to you.
Well, Dave, thank you very much indeed for that. And we do have good time, in fact, now. So we can move straight into questions, either for Dave or for me or Simon, if I can ask you to also be on a panel of three. Any questions or reflections off the back of what Dave has just said, the floor is open. You can ask a question either by unmuting yourself or in chat if you prefer to do that. Anything you'd like Dave to expand on, anything at all? Dave, perhaps I can ask, you sort of mentioned in that verse 31 that God has given assurance to all of this day by raising him from the dead. What do you make of that? Do you think that's because we sort of naturally don't think there is going to be a judgment and we need that that sort of assurance, that proof?
Yeah, I think if you ask most people, then they would say that how you live, it might matter now because it might affect other humans around you. It might affect wider society as a whole. But in terms of a day in the future when you will be held account as to how you've lived, I doubt that many people would think that that really matters, or they don't think that that they have done wrong. I think if most people in society would think I'm a good person, therefore I'm going to heaven. And so I don't think that they really think that God's judgment is either coming or it is that serious for them. And I think the assurance is also the assurance as to who God will judge by. So the fact that Jesus has been raised, the assurance is that it is by Jesus that God will judge. And therefore, it is our response to Jesus that is so central. We can't just respond to God on our own terms. We have to respond to God through Jesus Christ because he is the only one who can save.
That's really helpful because there are sort of various religions that would believe in some kind of judgment day, but not that Jesus, not that God will judge the world by the one man, Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's really helpful. Other questions? Comments? Dave, I think you've left us in absolute crystal clarity. Philip, did you have a question?
No, not a question, just a comment. What just David said, and then thinking about this, given assurance to all by raising him from the dead, suddenly came up my mind, maybe it's a bit like a vaccine. If we don't have a vaccine, almost 100% sure we will die because of this COVID. And because this vaccination, we will take it, and then 90% sure we will not die. It may be not relevant, but it just came up my mind. Everybody have a vaccine now. Then the connection between vaccination and Judgment Day, I don't know how it's linked, but it just came up my mind. It's just my analogy.
Yeah, that's helpful. I mean, the interesting thing is, of course, that the vaccine ultimately changes nothing, doesn't it, about where we're heading and this Judgment Day that Dave's been speaking about. There could have been no vaccine, and really, that would have changed Nothing.
Yes.
It's a good thing that we've got the vaccine.
Yes, it is. But
it's very insignificant, and it's helpful, isn't it, to see that in light of this fact, it's very insignificant.
Yes.
In the scheme of things, isn't it?
Yes, because when my wife and I had the vaccine in January 25th, after that, the feeling of fear changed a lot. Now we had the vaccination, we had one. So I'm sure we're not going to die.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really, really, changed our life very significantly.
Okay, Philip, so are you sort of comparing the vaccine more with the justification that Dave was talking about?
Yes, bit like that. Yeah.
Sorry, I misunderstood.
Yeah, bit like that. Yeah. And also...
Can I just interject? We have a question here from...
Of course, please go ahead.
Philippe, to Dave, what does repenting look like? And what does one explain repent? And how does one explain non-repentance to people who are looking into things?
Yeah, so word repent means to turn around, so to do a U-turn on the way that we're living. So all of us by human nature are living in rebellion against God and rejecting him. So the first stage of repentance is a change in mind as to who Jesus is, and to the fact that he is the king. And so I'd say that, and therefore the change in mind is therefore going to then lead to a change in lifestyle. So for different people, it's going to look like different things. But at the centre of all of it, it looks like a change in heart and a change in mind to have that desire to then serve the Lord Jesus. And it seems I think one thing that we need to say is that it's critical. In becoming a Christian, so God commands all people everywhere to repent, and throughout Acts it's a constant, it is the response to the gospel. We saw it last week in Acts chapter 2, they're baptized and they repent. It is that sort of change of going from living against God to living for God with Jesus as king.
That's very helpful, and therefore it's not just intellectual assent, is it? It's not just I believe it, Jesus was the Son of God, but then sort of no change to life. It's a complete turning around, a 180. That's helpful, Dave. Any other thoughts or questions? Great. Well, I think we will therefore draw stumps there. Thank you very much indeed, Dave, for bringing that to us. Please do forward this on to friends and colleagues. It'll be on YouTube, so do forward it on. Very, very clear explanation, isn't it, of two of the most important implications of Jesus' resurrection. Next week, we're going to be back again for the final of these of this series, thinking about why did Jesus die, and particularly the freedom that he's won for us through his death on the cross. Freedom being a topical thing at the moment as we long for that freedom from COVID restrictions. So next week, thinking about the greater and the greatest freedom that we can have through Jesus. So hopefully see you next week at this time on the same link. Thank you very much, Dave, and see you all next week.